put to this. Genesis chapter 24. This is the longest chapter in the book of Genesis, and I'm not going to read it all. I think it's 67 verses. Just going to read a few verses, but I would invite you to keep your Bibles open this morning while we refer to some of the verses throughout, just a number of things I want to look at this morning. Genesis 24, reading from verse number 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And we're going to end there, and we trust the Lord will bless the public reading of his own precious and fallible and errant and inspired word. As I intimated when we began to look at the life of Isaac, really, even though that Isaac lived longer than his father Abraham and indeed his son Jacob, yet less is said about Isaac than the other two men. Very little indeed is said about Isaac. I suggested he could have middle patriarch syndrome. It seems nearly that he was overlooked. And yet the story of Isaac is very, very important. And we trust again this morning as we look at Isaac, as we see him very much in the background here, we trust the Lord will have something to say to all of us this morning. I've called the message this morning, unromantic romance. The most unromantic romance that you can imagine. And we'll see why that is when we get into the story. Prince Harry and Meghan are never far from the news. Apparently, they have a desire for privacy. I'm tempted to say they have a strange way of showing it. But when Harry married Meghan, he lost his military title, the Royal Marines Captain. He left the United Kingdom and now lives in the United States. Any future children will not be considered royal. The HRH title has been removed. The world travel paid for by the royals is gone. Millions in state funding is gone. Harry's love for hunting, it too had to go. He had to move away from friends and family. And I don't want to go into it too much, but he seemed to have an awful lot to give up. And I wonder sometimes when he entered into marriage, did he really sit down and consider what he was entering into? Marriage is so important. Marriage is second only, I believe, to salvation when it comes to the decisions that we make. It's a serious step and should only be entered in with a serious mind and never entered into lightly. As I said, this is the longest chapter in Genesis. I've preached on it before and entitled it Finding the Right Partner and Being the Right Partner. We'll cover some of that this morning, but there's some other things I want to say this morning. As I say, this would probably belong in a series in Abraham more than Isaac. And perhaps we'll look at the life of Abraham sometime in the future and go into it in more depth. I want to see three things. I want to see a symbolic picture. I want us to see seeking a partner. And then I want to see the sinner's pathway. Three things that I want us to find in this passage this morning. It's a cultural background. Here we have a father, Abraham, who was going to send his servant out to find a bride for his son. His son had no say in the matter. This lady knew nothing about it. And so this servant was going away many, many miles away to look for a wife for the son of Abraham. As I say, this is strange in our culture, the son not consulted. I don't think you would get away with it in the year 2021. And we could be critical of it. But as J.G. Butler points out in his commentary, we need to see how well our own marriages are doing before we look down on something that we find in the Word of God. I say to the young men here this morning, don't worry. I'm not suggesting that your daddy looks for a woman for you. I think if they did, you'd be very nice to your father for some time. But I'm not suggesting that this morning. But that's the cultural background we have here this morning. And I want to try and bring something out of that. As I say, that's why it's a non-romantic romance. This young man had nothing to do with it. And as I say, the servant went looking for a wife for this young man. Let's mention the symbolic picture first of all. There's a wonderful picture here I want you to see. I want you to see Abraham as God the Father. And you see, Abraham, this was the Father's plan. This was all the Father's plan. Rebecca was unaware of it, as I say. The son hadn't input at this stage. And could I say, when it comes to the salvation that you enjoy and I enjoy, those of us who are saved, you know, the Father mapped this out before the foundation of the world. This was God the Father's plan. That he would send his son into the world. And that his son would come and die. And his son would go back to glory. And the Spirit of God would seek a bride for his son. And so that's something of the little picture this morning. You see Abraham as God the Father. You see Isaac as God the Son. And you see Isaac waiting for that time when he will meet his bride. He's waiting for that time when he will meet his bride. What a wonderful picture of Christ in glory. One day soon the trumpet will sound. One day soon the church, the bride of Christ, will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. What a marriage that's going to be. What a moment that's going to be when we see Christ and we're with him for all eternity. I could call it his exaltation. Our expectation as he realizes he's going to see the bride soon. Look in the chapter at verse 67. I'm going to have you going back and forward here, but I want you to get the heart of the story this morning. Here's the expectation in the heart of Isaac. And Isaac brought her into his mother's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. You can see the not only the expectation, the exaltation of the bride. She's brought in to a privileged place. You see the unification of the bride. They're united as one. You see the satisfaction of the bride. She's brought into this place and she's comforted. What a comfort for every believer here this morning to know that one day we're going to be with Christ. All sorrow will be over. When we get home, all pain will be gone. No more death, no more suffering. What a reunion it's going to be with the loved ones who have gone on before. And you see this wonderful picture. You have God the Father. You have God the Son. As we look at the servant in the story, we have a picture of God, the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God is sent out. The servant was sent out to find a bride for the son, Isaac. And that's what the Spirit of God is doing in this age. The Spirit of God is seeking for sinners. The Spirit of God is bringing that conviction of sin upon those who don't know Christ. The Spirit of God, it's all about Christ. And the servant was talking about Isaac. It was all about Isaac, all about the Son. And the Spirit of God will glorify the Son. And when you see people, and we see many of them in this day and age, and they emphasize the work of the Spirit of God, there seems to be little glorification for the Son of God. A real work of the Spirit of God will glorify the Son of God. And you see in the servant the picture of the Spirit of God seeking and speaking. And this Spirit would not only find Rebekah, the Spirit would supply the needs of Rebekah. The Spirit would gift Rebekah. The servant would gift Rebekah, just like the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God, the servant was with Rebekah until she came home and saw the Son. And the Spirit of God that dwells in every believer will remain with us until that day when we see Christ and we're with Christ for all eternity. It's a wonderful picture, isn't it? A symbolic picture. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the Father sends the Spirit to get a bride for the Son. That's what's happening in the very day and age in which we live. That's the symbolic picture. I want to say something about seeking a partner. What should I look for in the one that I'm going to spend the rest of my life with? What are the qualities that we look for? Is there any guidance in this passage? I know it's a cultural thing, but it's inspired by the Spirit of God. Is there any guidance here? Is there any help here? Is there anything that young people can take from this passage and help them in their quest to find a partner for life? I believe there is. I believe there's much here this morning. Let me say, I'm not giving you a definitive list. I'm not saying this is it. If you can tick all these boxes. I'm not saying tick every box. What I'm saying is here's guidance for you this morning. Here's guidance from the Word of God. As you seek to make the most important decision outside of salvation. Who am I going to spend the rest of my life with? Who's going to be with me until death us do part? That's why it's so important. Let me say, first of all, there's a spiritual condition. Look at verse number 3. And I will make thee swear, and here's Abraham talking to the servant. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. Here's the number one qualification. This wife for Isaac, this girlfriend for Isaac, had to be from the family. He wasn't allowed to go outside the family. He wasn't allowed to go into the Canaanites. And you see, when we bring that into the New Testament, here's what Paul said clearly. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? The servant was in for a long journey. And you know, sometimes it can be a long journey to find the right person. But he wasn't going to take any shortcuts. I wonder, are you panicking? I wonder if you hit the panic button. God says, listen, hit the pause button this morning. Hit the pause button. God wants you to find someone who knows and loves your Savior. If you don't, it's going to be problematic. It's going to be problematic in your courtship. It's going to be problematic in your marriage. And it'll be problematic as you seek to spend your life together. I wonder, are you dating with danger? Are you courting with corruption? Are you romancing with ruin? Are you flirting with failure? You see, the number one requirement, they need to know and love the Savior. Spiritual. Let me say something occupational. Look at verse 5 this morning. And I'll do this as quickly as I can. And the servant said unto him, speaking to Abraham, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow with me into this land. Must I needs bring thy son again into the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware that now bring not my son thither again. And he asks a straightforward question. What if she's not willing to come? What if I'm directed to someone and she says no? And so this is a legitimate question, verse 8. If the woman be not willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath, only bring not my son thither again. And Abraham didn't want Isaac going into the far country under any circumstances at all. But here's the question. What if this woman's not willing to obey? What if this woman's not willing to submit to what I'm asking her to do? You see, when you come into the Word of God, you discover there are clear and distinctive roles in marriage. Let me say from the start, the man is not better than the woman, and the woman's not better than the man. We're equal in the sight of God. It's the same within a church. The Lord has appointed within the church elders to rule in the assembly. Doesn't mean they're better than everybody else. God has given them a position within the assembly. And we're told in Scripture that it should be men. And if you have a woman elder, they have turned their back on the Word of God. I don't care how they try to twist it. I don't know how they get around it. How they can make them a husband of one wife. But that's another issue this morning. But here are the roles. We find in Colossians 3, verse 18 to 19. And I'm not going into a great detail. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. The husband is to love the wife as Christ loved the church. What a selfless love. What an unselfish thing it is to love your wife the way Christ loved the church. And you see, when husbands love their wives in this way, you know, submission just follows naturally. In fact, Paul in Ephesians talks about submitting to one another. It becomes a mutual submission. And really the question being asked to Rebecca here, are you willing to submit? Are you willing to come? We will see later on that she says yes. And we'll cover that a little later on in a different way. But here is the question. Let me ask you again, is that person that you're interested in, is that someone you think will fulfill the biblical role of a wife? Does he strike you as someone who will fill the biblical role as a husband? Will he love you? Will he put your needs before his needs? Will he treat you like a princess? I've often said from 1 Peter when when the example of husband and wife are given, it's actually Abraham and Sarah, and Sarah means princess. What a beautiful name. Will he treat you like a princess? Is this the sort of woman that will be submissive, that will give you your rightful place in the home? Will you be henpecked? Will she be the one that's wearing the trousers? These are things that you want to consider. You think of the spiritual, you think of the occupational, think of the dependable. Look down to verse number 12 in Genesis chapter 24. Let me say again, this is not a definitive or exhaustive list. I'm not saying this is it, there's nothing more to go, or you have to have this. I'm just taking from this passage what I find this morning. You see the spiritual, the occupational, you see the dependable. Some men are in for a doing around the dinner table, I have a notion today. I apologize to all the men. Look at verse 12 in Genesis 24. We're just going to draw things out of this. I trust you'll be able to follow me this morning. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, and this is the servant praying, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. Let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. He wants to look for a wife for Isaac. And he's at the well because he knows the ladies who come to the well are dependable. They're dependable. They're not lying at home. There's a role to play. There's something to be done. And they are going to be there. They're going to be those who can be counted on. They would be asked at a particular time every day to go to the well to get water and bring it back. And he knew that the young ladies that come here are ladies you can count on. They're dependable. And now I'm concentrating on the ladies here. This is the same of both, of course. The men and the women. The boys and the girls, if you like, this morning. Here's someone who would be dependable. Someone who would be faithful. Someone you could count on. He knew to look in the right place. Spiritual, occupational, dependable, beautiful. Look at verse 12 again. This again is him praying. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. And you know how he was at the well. Look at verse 15. It came to pass before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, which was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And look what it says in verse 16. The damsel was very fair to look upon. She was good looking. Now, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Someone who's beautiful to me, you may not see the beauty. Of course, real beauty's on the inside. But of course, there's physical attraction. That's something God has given to us. Just the physical attraction. This is not something sinful. This is something God has given to us. And of course, there was a beauty in Rebekah. She was a beautiful person. But I think it's even more than a beautiful person. Here's a woman going to a well to draw water, and she looks well. She took care of her appearance. She obviously took a good interest in herself. And she was, as John Wesley preached in 1791, cleanliness is next to godliness. Here was someone who looked after themselves, someone who took care of themselves, someone who cared about their appearance. There are no prizes in the Word of God for looking untidy, unkempt. And he knew to look at this girl. She looked after herself. She had an interest in herself. Something spiritual. Something occupational, something dependable, something beautiful. Someone has written this. I didn't write this. This is one of the American commentators. If a girlfriend seldom looks like anything but a sloppy Jane, the boy needs to look elsewhere. If the boyfriend generally looks like a sloppy Joe, the girl needs to find someone else. That's not my words. That's someone else's. But you can see what I'm saying this morning. There was something beautiful about her. Spiritual, occupational, dependable, beautiful. Honorable. Look at verse 16. I'm not going to elaborate this morning in a family service. I don't need to spell it out. The damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her. she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. There was a purity about her, wasn't there? So important. I say to young people, forget about what you see on television. Forget about all the extramarital sex. Stick to God's plan. Stick to God's plan and God will bless you for it. The Lord will honor you for it. And young ladies, if he says, if you love me, you would. If he really loved you, he wouldn't. If he really loved you. I don't want to go into it this morning. There was something honorable about her. There was something charitable about her. I've already touched on this. Look at verse 14 again. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Here's a young girl going to the well to get water, and she stops. And she sees someone else with a need. And she's willing to stop and to give him water. Not only that, she's willing to water the camels as well. There was an unselfishness about her. She took time for other people. Is that one that your eye is on? Is it someone who's unselfish? Or is it all about me? And of course, it cuts both ways, doesn't it? Not a definitive list. Not a checklist for you this morning. Just some help for you this morning. Spiritual, occupational, dependable, beautiful, honorable, charitable, respectful. Look at verse 18. And she said, drink, my Lord. Do you know what that tells me? She had good manners. Good manners. Isn't good manners so hard to find in 2021? She just was a well-mannered girl. She was someone that you wouldn't be afraid to bring home. She would never say something rude. She would never let you down. They wouldn't talk out of place. And again, I'm concentrating on the young lady. But of course, this is true for the young men as well. You'd be happy to bring him home to mum and dad. You know your mum and dad would find him acceptable. You know his language will be clean and pure. And he will respect the home that he's in. Not only that, she was helpful. We've already, again, touched on this. Verse 10 again. And the servant took 10 camels. Note there was 10 camels. Look down to verse 15. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, which is born unto Bethuel. And of course, you know the story so far. Look at verse 18. And she said, drink, my Lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and give him and drink. Verse 19. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. Not only did she want to give him a drink, she could see the animals. And there was 10 camels. And I've been on camels and I've seen camels and boy, they can drink. And she carried water to all 10 of them. There wasn't a lazy bone in her body. Not a lazy bone in her body. Listen, if she's lazy in courtship, she'll be a lazy wife. And the same goes for the husband. If he's a layabout, you'll be marrying a layabout. These are just some simple things that I noticed. Look at verse 20. She hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again into the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. You know, she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough. Dr. Bob Jones tells the story. I'm not going to get into the whole story about a girl, and it was obvious she wasn't suitable for this boy, and eventually they fell out, and he told the fella, go you, when she finds somebody else, buy her a wedding present and call it a thank offering. Call it a thank offering. This may be hard for you to believe, but I was going out with a girl one time many, many moons ago. The relationship lasted about 12 hours. She was a free Presbyterian. Nothing wrong with free Presbyterians. And she dumped me. I say, you'll find that hard to believe. She dumped me after about 12 hours. Her aunt rang me and she says, Ian, your miss was your mercy. Your miss was your mercy. And I have no doubt that was true. And that's what Bob Jones was touching on. Sometimes your miss is your mercy. You see, she was helpful. Listen, there's something careful here as well. Again, I'm just drawing this out. And this is really for everyone. How can I find this sort of partner? What did this man do, the servant? Look at verse 12 again. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day. He made it a matter of prayer. And I say to young people this morning, pray about it. This is something you can talk to God about. I know it's not easy to talk to mom and dad about it, but you can talk to the Lord about it. Lord, I want you to lead me to the right person. You'll see in verse number 7 that an angel was going to lead the servant. Do you think what God did for this servant, he can't do for you? And he prayed about it. And he prayed about it. He didn't want to go. Look at the pathway as well in verse 27. And he said, blessed be the God of my master Abraham, who hath not left me destitute, my master of his mercy in this truth. I being in the way the Lord led me. And I've pointed this out a number of times from this pulpit. He was being led by this angel. He was in the way and the place, and he was walking the way God wanted him to walk, and God took him to the right person. And I said to young people before, your spiritual walk is much more important than you think. If you're out of fellowship with the Lord, if you're living in bypath meadows, if you're in the far country, and you're out of the will of the Lord, do you think God then is going to lead you to the... He knew where he would find the right girl. Are you looking in the wrong place? You're not going to find this sort of girl or boy in a nightclub. You're not going to find them in a pub. You're not going to find them queuing up. And we saw when the nightclubs open, young ladies queuing up with practically nothing on them. You're not going to find them there. And that's why it's important as a church that we have things like the well, and other churches do the same, that our young people can go and meet other young people who have similar likes and dislikes. And some old people might turn their nose up at it and not understand it, but I'll tell you, it's vitally important. Vitally important. We do what we can to help our young people, that they find the right person they're going to spend the rest of their life with. You see the prayer, you see the pathway, you see the place. You know what Esau did? Genesis 26, verse 34. Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bashemite, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and Rebekah. He broke his mama's heart, and he broke his father's heart. Because out of pure spite, he went outside the family to get a bride. And from that, there's still trouble today, but that's another story. They went to the wrong place. If you're in the wrong place, you'll not find the right person. I'm nearly finished. Look at verse 38. I've called this purposeful. We've talked about the being careful, being prayer in the pathway and the place, and it's purposeful. You see, he didn't set out on a whim. Verse 38, but thou shalt go into my father's house and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son. He was going looking a wife. I've preached on it before. This dating and dating and dating and dating, that's not of the Lord. And I would say to young people, be careful you don't break someone's heart by leading them up a path and then letting them go at the end of the path. Enter into relationship. And I'm not saying every time you ask someone out, that's a proposal for marriage. But I'm saying when you're old enough to be going out with a girl or a boy, when you're in a relationship, remember the end game. You're not in this just for fun. You're thinking, am I going to spend the rest of my life with her? Am I going to spend the rest of my life with him? I have a sister who gives awful bad advice. She said to one of my sons one day who was going out with a girl, listen, you know, you need to be like getting a box of Quality Street. You try them all and see which one you like the best. That's not good advice. Not good advice at all. It's not biblical and it's not God-honoring. Don't break somebody's heart. Make sure you mean it and you're serious about it. Don't just enter in for fun. These things are serious. These things are important to our young people. And I know these things can be difficult for young people to handle. You see the symbolic picture. You see the seeking a partner. Let me finish off with the sinner's pathway. There's another little picture here in the chapter, and I'll do this very quickly. I want to let us out in good time because of the drive-in at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Think of Isaac, as I said, as a picture of Christ. Here's Rebecca, knew nothing about Isaac. She's the picture of a sinner. And so here's someone who knows nothing of Isaac, had never heard of Isaac, and yet she's going to be introduced to Isaac. She's going to fall in love with Isaac. And they're going to become one. And that's what we want to happen to those who are without Christ this morning. We want to introduce you to Christ. We want you to find Christ, and we want him to be your Savior. And you see the center of all that the servant said. Look at verse 36. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son. Look at verse 37. And my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife to my son. Look at verse 38. But thou shalt go into my father's house and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son. The son, the son, the son. Isaac, Isaac, Isaac. It was all about Isaac. And when it comes to preaching, our message must be all about Christ, because Christ is the answer. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And the message that Rebecca heard was centered on Isaac. The message that you need this morning, if you're without Christ, it needs to be centered on Christ and Christ alone. It was not only a center of the message, it was a critical message. Look down to verse 32. And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels and gave straw and provender for his camels. Now, the servant has been invited back to Rebekah's house, and water to wash his feet and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat, and he said, I will not eat. The message he had to deliver and the response to the message was more important than food. If you're not saved this afternoon, this is more important than your Sunday lunch. You need to hear all about Christ. And you have to decide what you're going to do with Christ. You see the center of the message. You see how critical the message was. And you see the choice in verse 58. I'm not the first one to bring the gospel out of this. Look at verse 58. And they called Rebecca. And this is the family. And they've been told why the servant's there. And they called Rebecca and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? That's the question for you this morning if you don't know Christ. Will you go with Christ? Do you want to become a follower of Christ, or do you want to follow the devil to hell? It's simple, isn't it? And I don't want to sugarcoat it. Follow Christ and spend eternity in heaven. Follow Satan and you'll be lost in hell for all eternity. It's a simple choice. Wilt thou go with this man? Look at verse 55. Here's the brother stepping in. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us for a few days, at least 10, and then she shall go. You see how they tried to hinder her? And he said unto them, hinder me not. And there's always someone will try and hold you back from making that decision. And the Lord is saying to you, as we come to the end of 2021, will you go with this man? Will you go with Christ? Will you follow him? Who's hindering you? What's hindering you? What's more important than heaven? What's more important than your soul? What's more important than salvation? Now look what Rebecca said in verse 58. And they called Rebecca and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? Praise God, she said, I will go. And Rebecca made a decision that she would never, ever regret. Look at verse 67. And Isaac brought her into her mother's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. She was accepted, she was loved, she was enriched. She discovered that Isaac was everything the servant said he was. See, when it comes to Christ, he's not only everything that you've heard, the half has not been told. He's far above anything we can imagine. And to spend eternity with Christ, and to know Christ as your Savior, what a blessing. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Isaac was everything that they promised he would be. He was not a disappointment. He is not a disappointment. Jesus is far more to me than in all my glowing daydreams I had fancied he could be. Listen, if you're not saved this morning, I'm coming to you hard and fast this morning because the Lord wants to speak to you. Wilt thou go with this man? Are you going to follow Christ? I preached, I think it was the first Sunday of this year, I preached on the question, will 2021 be another year without the sun? Now, there's only two more Sundays left after this one. 11 months have gone. And this year has gone like a blink. Are you still without the sun? And I'm talking about S-O-N, the Son of God. Still lost here this morning. Still without Christ and without hope. What a wonderful blessing it would be this morning if you were to come and trust Christ as your own and personal Savior. At least end 2021 with the sun. And then you'll know whatever happens. One day you'll be with him in heaven for all eternity. Let's just bow in a moment's prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God this morning. Lord, we thank you for the young people here. And Lord, we praise God for them. And Lord, we realize that life is not easy for them. And Lord, these decisions can be difficult. And Lord, we just pray that you would guide our young people. Lord, protect them. Lord, there's a world out there that wants to tear them to pieces. There's a devil that wants to destroy our young people. Lord, we see it in the word of God. He wants to get a grip on the youth. Lord, we're praying for them this morning. Praying, Lord, that you'll protect them. Praying, Lord, that you'll look after them. Lord, help us to be the parents that you would want us to be. Help this church to be a church that cares about the boys and girls, cares about the young people, cares about the decisions they make in life. Lord, we thank you that it is. We know from how people pray on a Wednesday night. Lord, just be with our families and put your arms around about and underneath and help them, Lord. For they need our prayers. For it's in our Savior's precious name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing